Hello, everyone. Good to be with you via modern technology this morning once again. And just listening to reports and things that are being said this week, it looks like we'll be doing this at least for a few more weeks. Looks like throughout May. But just glad for the opportunity. Glad that we live in a time when we can take advantage of still being together in God's Word through Facebook, through YouTube, through the various opportunities that we have. Let me have a word. Start us with a word of prayer, and then let's dig into today's passage. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your protection of us. And Lord, as we have walked through some scary times that I know for some folks look like they are totally out of control, we as your children know that they're not, and you're watching over us, and that's a great comfort. I pray for those that are listening to my voice today as we dig into your word, that for each one of us, you have something that you want to speak to us. You want us to hear from you about your heart for us and then apply it to our lives. So help us as we walk through this together to give us understanding, give us ears that hear. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Over the years, you who are part of True North Family, you know, I've shared bits and pieces of my parents' story of when they came to know that God loved them. And actually, for them, they responded to God's offer at a church that they were visiting, looking for a place to get married at. The pastor that Sunday shared what the Apostle Paul in Romans that we've seen together calls the good news, the gospel. And Dad and Mom heard that and took God at his word and responded to his offer of forgiveness, both at the very same time that Sunday, not knowing each other had done it, but they both responded to God's offer. Well, prior to that moment in their lives, obviously their lives were wrapped up in a lot of different things, but one of the things that was a high priority for both of them, but especially my father, was music. My dad, at the time, had started a dance band, and it was doing well. In fact, his plan, his expectation was he was going to make a career of that dance band. But then, after stepping into this relationship with the Lord, the Lord readjusted his priorities, and Dad set aside those aspirations of leading that dance band, and instead enrolled in a Bible college. He wanted to learn more about his newfound faith, so he went off to Bible college. A year later, my mother followed him, went to that same Bible college, and then a few years after that, they married. Now, fast forward a number of years, and I am now around 16 years old, maybe 17, not sure exactly, and I also love music, grew up in a home that loved music, so I grew up loving music as well. I was in a band. It was a good band. I wasn't nearly as good as my father was when it came to the instruments that I played, or my son is now, as a matter of fact. But I enjoyed it nonetheless, and I loved music. And loving music, you know, I remember one time at that point in my life, one time they were talking up at school, talking up at high school, that there's a big dance coming up. And I'd never really gone to a dance, but really wanted to go. I don't know. There may have been a girl involved. I can't remember for sure. But I really wanted to go to this dance. So I'd really never had the conversation with my parents. But I had a sense that there might be a problem there. But nevertheless, I wanted to go. And so I remember saying to my mom, that talking to her about the fact that there was this dance coming up and I wanted to go to this dance. Well, suddenly I discovered that, yes, there was a problem with that. And it was a pretty big issue, especially between my mother. And so as we discussed it together, translate that, argued about it, mom, you know, I mean, her first reaction was no. But unfortunately, I was at the age where no wasn't satisfactory. You had to explain to me why, and, you know, because I said so, it wasn't going to work either. So we're having our discussion, translated argument. And at some point, Mom decided to bring Dad in on the discussion for reinforcement. Unfortunately, Dad wasn't a very big help to her because he went theological on us. And as we're talking it back and forth, my father basically said this. He said, "Well, Paul, the Bible doesn't really say anything about it. Doesn't say anything against it. Doesn't say anything for it." And so, as far as I'm concerned, what I see is you're going to have to make your own decision about this. You're going to have to decide what you feel is right for you and whether you want to go or not. And that was really an easy decision. Now, my mom's response to that was, "Fine, then you're free to go, but I'm going to pray that you have a very bad time." And so that was her prayer that night. Well, I did go. I had a wonderful time. I loved the whole night. I had a blast until we got to the very end of the evening. And right near the end, one of the final dances was a real lively dance. And one of my best friends was hopping all around going crazy. And he came down on my ankle. He had these big, heavy hiking boots on. And he came down my ankle and almost busted my ankle. So, moral of the story, listen to your mother. I want to say that just to let you know, mothers, today is Mother's Day. I wish we were together so I could tell you face to face how much we love you and appreciate you. I hope your family makes that known to you today, that they celebrate the fact that you're part of their lives. And for you who do not have that opportunity, I just pray that you'll feel God's love for you today. His arms around you as he comforts and encourages you. But there's another moral to this story too, and it's really where I want to go this morning because it fits into the direction that I think the Apostle Paul is taking us, and that is we're going to talk about freedom, and the reality is freedom has the potential for doing some really great things in our life. Or freedom has the potential of causing a great deal of pain in my life. And so that's where we're going to talk through, and that's what I want us to think through. And I think that's what Paul is trying to take us. Freedom can be dangerous and painful at times, or it can be wonderful. And Paul wants us to think this through. So if you haven't had it yet, get in your Bibles or your devices, go to Romans. We are going to finish up Romans chapter 6. Remember, this is a letter that Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, to a congregation of believers, of followers of Christ. And so we've been working our way down through this letter. Now, last week, we began and ended with chapter 6, verse 14, where Paul says, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." In other words, if you're a believer, he's saying you are now free of sin. You have freedom. Sin is no longer your master. You are no longer a slave to your sinful nature, which he's been introducing and talking us through where that came from. Our association with Adam and how that plague of sin spread throughout all humanity. We're free of that now. But with freedom comes a caution. Freedom is wonderful until it's misused or used for something that is harmful. In fact, let me read that verse, verse 14, along with verses prior to it. I'm going to read it from Eugene Peterson's modern translation called The Message. Listen as I read. "This means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run the errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourself wholeheartedly and full time into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God." So what Paul's going to do now in the remainder of chapter 6, as his letter has been divided up, is he's going to talk us through the good, the bad, and the ugly of our newfound freedom. So let's dig our way through this passage and see what he has to say. His caution about the freedom that we now have because of our relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ. Starting with verse 15, he says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means." That sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? It sounds an awful lot like this chapter, how this chapter began, back up in verse 1, where he said, "Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means." Only in verse 1, Paul was countering a twisted perspective that some were floating out there that if the more I sin, if God's grace will cover my sin story, whatever it is, and the more, no matter how much I've sinned, no matter what my story is, God's grace is bigger than that. It can cover it. Then some folks twisted that perspective and said, well, then really, when I sin, the more I sin, the better makes God look. And so why don't I just continue to sin to show everybody just how gracious God is? And Paul's response to that is, that's nuts. By no means. You can't. In fact, he says, the more you sin, what you really do is you call into question whether you're really in a relationship with God or not. Because as we walk through that passage, he says, when you accepted God's forgiveness, which he offered because of what his son did on the cross, remember what he walked us through last week? He said, you actually became a new creation. You are so connected with Christ right now, so immersed in Christ. It's kind of like your old self was crucified on the cross with him, buried in the grave with him, and then rose again as into new life. And so he said, it makes no sense to go on sinning. In fact, it calls into question whether you really accepted that forgiveness in the first place or not. And so he says, it doesn't make any sense to go back to eating garbage when you now have access to cupboards that are full of wonderful, healthy, life-giving food. That's his argument. But the reality is this: we are free for the first time to choose. We can go back to eating garbage if we choose to. Or we can move forward to something much better. We have freedom. But Paul's warning in the rest of this chapter is freedom can either bring tremendous blessing into our lives and our future, or freedom can have devastating consequences if we make the wrong choice. In fact, listen to how Paul puts it in the next several verses 15 and 16 to begin with. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as a slave, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. I'd like to read those verses again from the modern translation called The Message. So since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. We do know that, don't we? Probably all of us have made decisions. We had the freedom to make decisions in the past that the ramifications of, we didn't think them through, or we ignored them, or whatever the case was, but we in our freedom, we made a choice that actually put us in bondage. It could be freedom with our finances that suddenly put us in a situation where we were in bondage because we made a bad choice in the process. It could be the freedom we had to choose a certain relationship, that relationship, we should have thought through it. We should have recognized the warning signs, but we didn't. And then we found ourselves in bondage because we made the wrong choice. That's what he's saying here. We've all had the experience. We know that sometimes choices can bring us harm. So that's what he's saying. He says, this is a logical thing if you understand that. God, we are now free to decide who we are going to serve. But understand this, he says, our decision has ramifications. That's the thing about freedom. We have the freedom to choose what we want to do, which direction to go, how we're going to handle things. But with freedom comes tremendous potential for great things or ghastly things, and for a whole lot of stuff in between. Back in the 14th century, there was a duke. He was actually a duke of the region of the world that is called Belgium today. His name was Renald III, and he had the power in that area. He was the leader of that area. That was until he came. He had a falling out with his brother Edward. Now Edward was not the rightful owner of the throne, of the power, because the older brother was. But they had a falling out, and it was such a violent falling out that his brother Edward actually led a revolt against him, and he was successful. He overthrew Renald from his position. And when all was said and done, you know, there were going to be those who questioned how Edward came to power. So to kind of help quell that, to help silence that, he actually said to his brother, "You are free to regain your power anytime you want." But here's what he did. He actually, in their palace or wherever they lived, he actually built a special room for Renald. And he put Renald in that room. In fact, he built the room around him. That room had a door. It had windows. And what Edward told his brother Renald was, "You're free to leave this room anytime you want. And the moment you leave this room, I will give you back your rightful position as the duke of this area." But here's the part of the story that we need to know. Renald had a tremendous appetite. In fact, when Edward had this room built around him, he had the doorway built too small for Renald and his present weight to be able to get through the door. And the windows were too small for Renald to be able to go through the windows. And so basically what he was saying to Renald was, if you can control your appetite, you have a freedom to decide what you eat and what you don't eat. And if you can control your appetite, if you can exercise your freedom to say no to food, then when you get the right size, which was attainable, you could step out of this room, walk through that doorway, and I will give you back your power. But every day, Edward would have his cooks make Renald these great feasts of food. And every day that would be delivered to Renald's room. Now, he had a decision. He had the freedom to make a choice. He could at any choice say, "I'm not going to eat that stuff. Because if I'll stop eating that, or at least curtail how much I eat, then I can eventually lose some weight. And as a result, I can walk out that door and regain my position." But you know what? Renald just didn't have the ability to say no to food. And so he continued to eat all the food that was delivered to him. And not only did he not lose weight, he gained weight. And he was in that room for 10 years. Anytime he could have made a decision, he had the freedom to make a decision to become healthier and as a result regain his power. But he never made that choice. At the end of the 10-year period, his brother Edward was killed in a battle. And as a result, the people removed the walls of that room and brought Renald out. And so he once again regained his position. But because of his unhealthy lifestyle for all those years, he only lived a couple of months after that. You see, this is what Paul's trying to tell us. We have the freedom. We now, as followers of Christ, for the very first time, we have the freedom to make a decision. Am I going to follow that old master of sin and my appetites and living by selfishness and making decisions, even in my relationship with God, somehow trying to earn his favor, which is not how he's said to go? Or am I going to use my freedom, my newfound freedom, to live for my Lord and know the blessing that comes with that. Notice how Paul goes on, verses 16 and 17. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I think there's a couple of things that we need to flush out here. One, what does he mean when he says that they obeyed the form of teaching to which they were entrusted? Well, remember, as we started this letter, within this congregation in Rome, remember we said that there were really two people groups. There were those individuals that were from a Jewish background, and then there were individuals that were from a Gentile background. And the folks in this church that were from a Jewish background had been taught all their lives that being in a good place with God, being in relationship with God, being in good standing with God was wrapped up in obeying the law, in keeping the rules, and eating the right foods, and rejecting the wrong foods, of feasts and special celebrations, of walking a certain amount of steps on their Sabbath day. All those things are what was wrapped up in whether or not I was going to be in a good relationship and good standing with God or not. And then that's what the religious leaders had always told them. And then along came Jesus, who said, no, that's incorrect. Those things do not put you in good standing with God. What it actually is, and here's what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to be in a relationship with my Father, you have to come through me, by way of me. And he's going to go on and explain what that meant, what he did on the cross, the offer of forgiveness that would be offered to all of us based on his payment on the cross for our sins. And so what he's saying is to these people is, you heard that and you made a decision. And your decision was either I will obey what I've always been told by our religious leaders, that our relationship with God is all wrapped up in rules and regulation, do's and don'ts, lists, and all those kinds of things, or I can obey what God has now told me through his son Jesus, and that is that the only way to be in relationship with him is by accepting his offer of forgiveness that was paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. And he's saying, you chose, you made the right choice, you all chose to obey God's offer through Jesus Christ. You made the right choice. And so that's what he's talking about in that statement. But then he goes on. The second thing we need to wrestle through is later in this verse where he says, now, because of that, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Which really seems to be saying, you know, that we were slaves of sin, but now we're slaves of righteousness. We're still slaves. And that doesn't sound... I mean, it sounds better. I'd rather be a slave to doing what's right than doing what's wrong. But the reality is, it sounds like he's saying you're still slaves. It's still slavery. So what is Paul getting at here? What's he trying to convey to us? Well, he clears it up. He goes on and explains what he means by this statement. That what he's actually saying is, we are now free. We still are going to serve someone, but we're free for the first time to choose who we serve, as he's been saying. Notice he goes on, verses 19 and 20. I put this in human terms because you're weak in your natural selves. He says, I'm trying to help you understand this, so I'm going to explain it in terms that you will understand. Based in your context of the world, the situation you're in, you understand this whole slavery thing. And you'll even understand how, at times, slaves are set free from their masters. And then they have a choice to make. So I put this in human terms because you're weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them. Notice, you make a decision. You have a choice to make. So now offer them, your bodies, in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. So there it is. Paul says, you're going to be slaves to something. I'm going to be a slave to something. I will serve a master. That's just the reality. But as a follower of Christ, he's saying, for the first time, I have a choice of who I serve, which I did not have before I stepped into that relationship with God because of Jesus. I now have a choice. I never had that before. But notice, there's a tremendous difference between who our master was before and who it can now be. Verse 21, what benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things resulted in death. You see, Paul is making a very practical argument here. He's saying, can you go back to the garbage? You can. But why would you? When you think back on your life prior to Christ and the direction and the way those decisions that you made that were wrapped up in what selfish motivation and in the fact that the enemy who was trying to constantly make us go directions that we knew he knew would be harmful to us. When you think back of the ramifications of where you were before, why would you go back to that willingly when you don't have to? Why would you go back to the garbage? Some of you have heard the name John Newton. For some of you, it may be an unfamiliar name. Even if you haven't heard his name, John Newton, you've heard these words. I can almost guarantee it. And he wrote these words. Listen to what he wrote. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What's the backstory to those words? Some of you know bits and pieces of it. You may know all of what I'm going to tell you, but let me tell you just a little bit about John Newton's life prior to writing those words. John Newton was born into the home of a godly woman. She loved the Lord. And he also was born into the home of an ungodly father who really didn't have a lot to do with his mother's faith. But John Newton's mother died when he was 7 years old. And soon after he died, his father really had no choice. He couldn't leave a seven-year-old. He had no one to allow his seven-year-old to stay with. So he took his seven-year-old. His father was a sailor. He took his seven-year-old with him on the ship that he worked. And that cast suddenly stuck John into a very different environment that he had been in the first 7 years of his life as he lived in the home of a godly mother. From that point, everything in John's life began to fall apart. His life became full of bad decisions and ugly consequences because of those bad decisions. Well, he was kicked out of the Royal Navy as a deserter. Later, he got a job in a merchant's office, and he got fired from that job because of, quote, unsavory behavior. He once wrote that during this time in his life, he made it his study, his mission, to tempt and seduce others. He was in a dark, dark place in his life. In fact, he went on, as you know, and this is part of the story you probably do know, he went on to eventually captain a slave ship. He was the captain of a ship that would go into areas and remove people from their families and stick them down in the hold of the ship, knowing that by attrition, because of how cruelly they were treated, a number of those slaves that were in their heart, in their minds, subhuman, wouldn't make it. They would throw them overboard when they died or when they were too unhealthy to work. And John Newton was the captain of one of those ships that would carry those slaves, capture those slaves, and then carry them and sell them into slavery to other human beings. He was living a dark, ugly life until he met Jesus. And the truth was, in that time in his life, not only as he was stealing people from their families and selling them into slavery, Truth was, he was a slave himself. He's a slave to his vices. He is slave to his choices and the ramifications of those choices. He was in a horrible time of life. And then he met Jesus and wrote these words. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When you've been given a full cupboard, why would you go back to the garbage? This is Paul's question. He concludes with the verses 22 and 23. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've all been given a choice. Life, death, relationship with God, at odds with God. The safety and security and the fellowship that comes from being adopted into God's family, or a life that's wrapped up in uncertainty, no real security, not knowing what's next. Just knowing that I'm run by my appetites. We have a path we can choose. A path that can either have God as a part of it or God not involved in it. Paul says if we choose to reject God, then the certainty is that we're going to be enslaved by our appetites and our selfish desires. We're going to make choices that may look okay to the world around us, but and from a human perspective, but the reality is in the long run, they're going to leave me empty and separated from God, the God who loves me and wants me to be a part of his family. We have a choice. Now, you who have not responded to God's offer, that gift of forgiveness, that's your only choice right now. You have the choice to step out of where your life is now and step into a future, a hope, an eternity with God, a relationship with God. And that's his offer. He's offering you that as a gift if you'll accept his forgiveness. Now some of us have chosen to step into that relationship. We've chosen to accept that gift. And as a result, we've been recipients of his love and his grace. And we've been offered full cupboards stocked with blessings and future hope and peace that even exists in the midst of hard times, of unanswered questions. And yet there's this peace of knowing, okay, my God who loves me, who is now my heavenly Father, he's got me and he's taken care of me. We've been given a freedom because of that, to now make a choice. We can choose our master. We don't have to serve that old master of sin and our sin nature and that enemy who stands opposed to God and wants to destroy you and I. We don't have to go that path anymore. We can choose to follow our new master, righteousness, doing what pleases God. But with that freedom to make that choice comes consequences. Make the right choice and follow God's design for me. Listen to his word. Allow him to guide me in my life and relationship. And some amazing and wonderful things are going to happen. That doesn't mean that hard times will never come into my life. They do. But even in those hard times, and I'll share this with you from personal experience, even in the midst of the question marks, the I wonder why's, just that knowing that God's grace and my Heavenly Father who loves me is in control and has promised to take care of me, it brings a peace. Paul talks about it later on as a peace that surpasses understanding. That's what God wants you for you today. It's what he wants for all of us. So here's the question. Where are you today? You who have not made that decision to accept God's forgiveness, do you understand his heart for you? How much he loves you? That is what he wants you to do, because he wants you to be a part of his family, because he wants to bless you, because he wants to give you that promise of an eternity with him. He's making that offer because his desire is your best, because he loves you. And for those of us who have already accepted that gift, where are you today? Are you experiencing God's grace? Or would you say, Paul, I've made some decisions lately that have robbed me of that peace, have left me feeling pretty insecure and maybe even hopeless. I've used my freedom to make decision and choices that are costing me now. They're enslaving me to something that I never wanted to be a part of again, and yet I find myself back there. Okay. Today's a day, a new day. Today you can choose, because of your relationship with God, you can choose to begin again, to start again, to recommit. Lord, I want to live from this point on, making choices that please you, because I know with those choices come blessing and hope and a sense of how much you love me. I know you love me, but I'm reminded of that. And so today, Lord, I'm going to choose to follow you. It's your choice. God loves you. His heart for you is your best. Follow him and let him bless you. That's what he wants. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this letter by Paul, who's helping us think through some of these things. And Lord, we thank you for that new freedom you've given us as your followers. But we understand that with freedom comes decisions and consequences. We can choose to use our freedom to follow you, to obey you, because you have a design for our life, and that design is for our best, for our blessing. You want to bring riches into our life, riches that are so much bigger than the riches of material blessing, just so many other things that you want to do. But we have to make a decision. Who are we going to follow? Those old appetites that enslaved us and discouraged us and disappointed us and caused destruction in our life, or this newfound relationship we have with a Heavenly Father who loves us and wants to bless us. Lord, if there's some listening to my voice this morning that would say, Paul, I've really made some bad choices lately, and they've caused some heartache. They've caused some broken relationships. They've left me in a place where I'm not enjoying that peace that God offers. Lord, let them hear your voice today, that they can begin again. That right now, this moment, they can go before you and say, God, forgive me. Thank you for allowing me to experience your blessing. And Lord, help me today, from this day on, to make those choices that are in obedience to you and that allow you to bless me in the way you want to. Lord, help them to make that decision. They don't have to stay where they are right now. And I pray for each one of us that that will be the desire of our heart as your children, those who are followers of you, that Lord, I want to choose your direction for my life, because with it comes hope and blessing. Thank you for allowing me to do that. Thank you for giving me that freedom. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.